Welcome to Past Your Bedtime. I'm Andrea Belke.
And I'm Danielle Kay.
And I'm Caitlin Cook.
And thanks for joining us. This is our first episode of our podcast. I hope this was a good decision for you. I think it will be. Yeah. If you're tuning in, I guess a little bit about us. My name is Andrea Belke. You might know me from Survivor. I've been on 3 seasons of Survivor. I'm also a host for People Now, which is an online show for people.com. So yeah, I'm a female living in New York City, and these are my 2 best friends.
Yeah. Thanks. Great intro. I'm Danielle Kay. I'm an actor, producer. I'm also somewhat of an activist, I'd like to think. I've been in New York for like almost 7 years now. Been lucky enough to know you guys for like the last 5 of them. A little bit about myself, maybe.
Yeah.
So I was born here. I was born at Long Island Jewish Hospital, lived in Queens till I was 4. And then I moved to Minnesota, which was really different, if you guys can imagine.
Yeah, so we all have a kind of a Midwest connection. Mm-hmm. I'm from Wisconsin. And you went to school in Wisconsin.
I did.
And then Caitlin, you...
I'm from Ohio.
Woo-woo.
Woo-woo. Yeah. I'm Caitlin. Hi. I'm an actor and a producer, and I was a casting associate for 2 years, so sometimes I'll freelance and do that still, because I really love doing that. I've been here 8 years from Ohio. So, like Danielle, I mean, with your transition, you were 4. I moved here, when I was, I'm not going to age myself, but when I was younger. It was just very different moving here from Ohio and, like, the people that you run into, and it was a very opening experience, although Ohio, I'm from Columbus, so I'm not from like a cornfield where there's no one, different looking. But moving here was very exciting, and I'm also very lucky to have you guys as my best friends.
I am from a cornfield.
Yes, you are.
I grew up on a 2,000-acre farm in Wisconsin, like kind of redneck, actually.
My house was literally right in front of a farm. Like when my backyard ended, it was a farm.
It
was beautiful. I look back on that, though, and I can't believe that, because now I look at my life here, it's just so different.
It's so different. Mm-hmm. That's why I kind of wanted to do a podcast, which, let's talk about the reasons we want to do this podcast, is I just think living in New York City as a single girl and trying to navigate the business of acting and hosting, it's just, there's so many ups and downs, and I think there's so much to talk about, and I just think that's kind of why I wanted to do it. What about you guys?
Yeah, similar. Because also there's just so many, like every day is like a story and a half. And also I just feel like there's so many people to work with. There's so many things that you can do. And a podcast is like it's like one of the most accessible ways to really dive into anything that you're passionate about and share it with people, and it's different. It's not just like a visual diary, like, social media is. So I think I'm glad I'm doing this so that I can have like some kind of outlet really to talk about things in a way that like I normally don't get to like broadcast in any way whatsoever. Like, I wouldn't be able to do this on like an Insta story, like the 3 of us.
I've seen your Insta stories.
And you've done it.
You would definitely do this on your Insta stories.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, well, and our title's Past Your Bedtime. And so it's a play on a sleepover. And I think that, the fact that we are 3 best friends, that we, when we do get together every time, even though we're older now and we don't necessarily always have sleepovers, it is kind of that feeling when we're together. And it's that exciting energy of like, what happened to you today? And let's gossip about this boy. But also like, let's talk about this serious thing happening in our life. And, I think, like you said, it's a nice outlet to be able to talk about the things happening that are serious in the world and be able to kind of share in how we're feeling about that. And also be able to talk about like this awful date we had and like get the insight of our friends and make sure we're not crazy people.
Yeah, I think that's good. I think it's a sleepover where everyone is invited.
Invited.
Yeah, but I do, to go off of that, Caitlin, I definitely want to talk about the fun things, but also serious stuff. I mean, I've been through a lot in my 28 years, and people have seen a sliver of that watching me on Survivor, but it's this edited version. Mm. And I feel like, going through something that they showed on the show was that I lost my sister when I was younger. And another thing about me is like, I've gone through eating disorders and everything, but I've never talked about that in a public platform or anything. And I think this would be a great opportunity to do that and maybe help other people that are going through things. Because I know when I was in college and really going through it, I didn't have any podcasts or role models or anything. And maybe it could have helped. So if we can help one person,
totally.
I feel like we're doing more than if we wouldn't have done a podcast.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Let's talk about how we all know each other.
Oh, yeah, that's a fun
so,
one.
So, Danielle and Caitlin, how did you two meet?
We met 5 years ago, yeah. Right?
Yeah, we met like giddy little schoolgirls, yes. 5 years ago on set. We met on set a film called The Last 5 Years, based off of the musical that starred Anna Kendrick, the film.
Yeah. We met at New World Stages, which is where we were shooting, so it's forever a special place to me.
Forever.
And yeah, it was one of those things where we both were like featured extras with her, and you know, I don't really do background work anymore, but at the time it was really exciting and fun, and Danielle was like the only person on set that I really wanted to communicate with.
I think the word, Caitlin, is like approachable, and I feel like you and I were genuinely the only, I think you and I were actually happy to be there, and yeah. I felt like you could, it was like this room full of girls, and I think there was like that general feeling in the air, like almost like, you know, it's a bunch of background actors feeling competitive, which is hilarious.
Which is so funny and silly. Yeah, it felt like a little catty. And then I saw Danielle and it was like, ah, yeah. It was like the shining light of an angel who was so sweet. So yeah. we became friends.
You actually thought Danielle was approachable? Because you kind of have resting bitch face, Danielle.
I know I do.
She did not that day because we were meant to be friends. No, you do not. But yeah, we.
Glad you don't think so.
I totally do.
I don't think it's a bad thing.
Well, yeah, I guess it's kind of a good thing.
I think it's a good thing, especially living in New York. You kind of have to look like you got your guard up at all times. So, yeah.
Yeah, if you can get your RBF like down to a science, if you live here, it only benefits you for
except
the most part.
For when people on the street, guys especially, tell you to smile.
Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah, that's the worst.
Then I regret having a resting bitch face because then they say, oh, why are you going to smile?
They actually,
and that's when you just curse them out.
Yeah, like, when that happens to you guys, like even for me, like I'm like, ugh, it kind of almost makes me feel bad because I'm like, what? You think I'm just a, sure, I am depressed, but you think I'm a depressed person walking around like wanting you to pick up on that? No.
It happened to me recently and I actually did smile and then I felt better than when I normally just scowl.
It makes me frown even more because I'm like, you're a piece of garbage. Like, you have no right to talk to me.
Thank you.
Which I think we can get into so much more. But wait, I want to know how you all know each other because I honestly kind of forget this story.
So Danielle and I know each other through my ex. So we'll just say his name is Joe.
Joe.
Because let's try really hard not to use names on this podcast. Because I don't want our friends and exes to be worried about anything.
Yeah.
We know each other through Joe. Wow, it's weird calling him Joe. And
Joe is...
If I'm coughing today, it's because I have bronchitis. So I apologize.
Casual bronch life.
So going back to that Wisconsin connection, you know, so I went to Madison for my undergrad, and one of my best friends coming out of that whole experience is Joe. And Joe's a New Yorker. I would always see Joe when I'd come to New York, and now, you know, I'm a New Yorker again. And yeah, like, I think our friendship has just really grown. And funny enough, I think, Andrea, I met you at a party. I don't remember. I think it was definitely a party hosted by Joe. I just don't know. I don't think it was your birthday party. I think it was in the fall.
We went to a bunch of parties, but we didn't really get close until after Joe and I broke up. Well, and I think because it was, a bunch of my best friends, girlfriends, left the city years ago. So Meg moved away, Sadie moved away. And then I realized that my girlfriends are all gone. So I'm like, who are some options of girlfriends I can get closer to? And that kind of led to me thinking, wait, Danielle is awesome and I should get to know her better. So after Joe and I broke up, I just reached out to you and we started hanging out more after.
Isn't that funny? He was so mad.
Wait, and isn't that?
He was mad, but also we were going through a thing where I kind of wanted a little bit of revenge. Mm. So I kind of made me happy to like post pictures of us together. Oh my gosh.
But wasn't that where I realized that you all were close, like at your house at the party with Joe?
That was definitely one of Andrea's birthday that we'd celebrated.
And I remember being like, Dee, like, what are you doing here? This is amazing.
Yeah.
And now the three of us are inseparable.
Really, though.
Awesome.
I know.
Yeah. And then Caitlin and I, you had a premiere for the web series that you made.
Yeah. I made a web series with my roommate called Rules of Cool. Check it out.
It's really good.
And thanks.
It is good.
And yeah, and Danielle actually was also in that, which was so many connections.
I didn't know you were in that.
She was in our rooftop scene in episode 2, if you watch it.
Yeah, the jacuzzi scene.
Yes, okay. She got to be on the rooftop party, which was like one of the best things we did get to shoot. Anyway, but yeah, so Andrea was invited to our premiere at Rockwood by our producer, Ashley Kate, who's also one of my best friends. And you all knew each other through our friend Ari. And so anyway, I met Andrea there for like a split 5 seconds of like, thank you so much for coming. Bye. Because I, you know, was running around like a crazy person. And then somehow we just ended up being like, want to be friends?
We were. So the other day, Caitlin and I were trying to figure out how we bridged that conversation of going from I was at her premiere or whatever to then all of a sudden hanging out and being in love with each other. I went back on our text message. It took me a long time.
Wait, did you really?
You know how you like you scroll, then you wait for it to load, and you scroll. I was doing it for a solid 20 minutes and went through.
Because there are years of messages.
Years of messages and stories and every and a lot of screenshots of text combos with dudes and pictures of guys.
Imagine
because
that.
Whenever we talk about guys, we'll be like, send me a picture. So there's just so many pictures of these random guys.
Well, we need a visual reference.
We do. Right? We do. So I went to the beginning, and the first text that you ever sent me was, hi, it's Caitlin. I can't believe I didn't text you earlier. Or something, and then you wanted me to tweet about retweet your show.
I remember
there was like
that.
A, there was like a poll or something.
I remember
a
that.
Voting thing. So I was like, of course I will. And then we kind of bridged that into we should totally hang out. And then it actually happened when you asked me to go to this concert.
Oh right,
Mother,
mm-hmm. Yes.
Which Penn Badgley is in because you're obsessed with Penn Badgley.
I wouldn't say obsessed. I love him. I love the band a lot. So if they're listening, no, but I really love the band Mother. Everybody should listen to them. They're amazing. But yeah, I wanted to go to the show and I was like, well, who is like fun that's going to, you know, want to go with me like last minute to this random thing? And I picked Andrea.
Yeah. And we had a blast. And then ever since then, we've just been hanging out.
Yes.
It's funny, like, I think of the three of us, our chemistry, and it's just so, like, it's kind of, like, perfect. Like, it's funny how, like, the three of us are similar, but also very different from each other.
We are. Mm-hmm.
But it's great. Like, and I, like, Caitlin, I feel like we are one of those people that I laugh the most with. Like, whenever, you know what I mean. And then Andrea also, like, Andrea, you and I have a great time, but I also feel like when I was first starting to get to know you, I was like, wow, she's so deep. Like, she really gets, like... She gets, like, those core, like, and you're not afraid to talk about, like, the deep stuff, mm-hmm. too, which I think is so important, you know? You got to have people that you can laugh with and cry with.
Yeah.
Yeah, know? I can be a little dark.
Well, no, but also, like...
I'm, like, a pretty dark person. I like to just, like, sprinkle it with some fun.
But I think that says a lot to our friendship as, you know, a threesome, is that we can be so comfortable with each other where we can literally just, like, call each other crying and be like, this just happened to me, I can't believe it. What do I do? And also, you know, turn 5 seconds later, just start laughing hysterically about something else that happened that day. That's something that I admire about both of you.
Aww. Yeah. Well,
our friendships are definitely, I feel like, cathartic, mm-hmm. which is so great.
So hopefully this podcast doesn't change any of that.
No,
not at all.
But also, wait, I will say it is kind of hard, I think, and maybe this isn't just specific to New York, although I think, you know, it kind of is. It's hard to make solid girlfriends. And I think, you know, as you get older and you find your people and they're honest, like good, true people and true friends, like, you know, it kind of pans itself out and it shows itself for what it is. And I think that both of you have been people like that for me. So
it is hard to get friends. And when you do, you really want to hold on to them.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think that how we want to start out every week is kind of do a what's on your mind sort of segment about maybe something that happened that week. So something that's stressing you out or something that was really exciting or weird. So I think let's start with Caitlin because I know you have had a ridiculous week. So Caitlin, what's on your mind?
What's on my mind is that, well, I'll preface this by saying I am okay. But what's on my mind is that I broke my tailbone. Mm. Yeah. So I was getting an x-ray the other day, everyone. So the day before Valentine's Day, which, like, I don't know why this was the chosen day, but I went out with a friend who, let me just add, he's one of the most beautiful people I've ever seen in my life. And we've been friends for about 5 years. And we've just never been able to connect and, like, get a drink and catch up and whatever. And so we decided to do that the day before Valentine's Day, as one does. So I didn't know if it was a date or not. But we had a great time. We were together for, you know, I think it was like 2 hours or something. Had some drinks, had a lot of fun. And then as we're walking, I might have, like, hit a piece of ice and fallen, fell right on my tailbone. Might I add, I was wearing like 3-inch boots. So that just like added to everything. So not only was I laying there completely humiliated of like, how did this happen in front of this gorgeous specimen and like, you know, whatever. But I'm still like, I don't know if this was a date or not. And I don't know what just happened. And I'm also in so much pain. So I ended up going the next day. I just kind of laid on a pack of ice. And then the next day I went and got an x-ray. And the doctor was like, we don't really have to do an x-ray. Like, I'm sure it's fine. And he was like, well, it's bruised. We might as well go forward. Then he walked in like right after we did it. And he was like, yep, it's broken. It's completely broken. So anyway, short story, long story short, I was given some nice Percocet, which I've taken a few at incorrect doses. Not currently on it, but I do still feel kind of like out of it. So anyway, broke my tailbone.
Okay, so wait. So when you fell, were you crying?
No, I think I actually laughed because I was so embarrassed and I was just like laying on the sidewalk like, but he was really freaked out because I was literally just like laying there like still and yeah.
So you have a broken tailbone.
I have a broken tailbone. I'm sitting currently on some pillow made for a broken tailbone.
Yeah, I think they call that a donut, right?
It's not. This is like a coccyx. It's some, I literally Googled on Amazon, like not Googled, but I searched on Amazon, you know, coccyx pillow, whatever for injury. And this is what showed up. Thank you, Amazon Prime. Same day.
That's great. That's great.
I can't believe that that happened, though. Especially on it. I mean, I guess a date.
Yeah. And I still
If it was a date, it is like a big date fail.
I was going to ask if that's been clarified since.
We have not clarified what it was. We've talked since. He's very sweet. And, you know, we're friends. But, it was a little awkward of like, okay, bye.
I know. I definitely am really sorry about your tailbone. But the bigger question for me is, was it a date or not?
That's what I'm saying.
I need to know.
I still don't know.
But so there were obviously no one, you didn't kiss or anything.
You know.
Okay. I think this was a date.
Okay. So it was a date, obviously.
But then you're not sure now what...
I'm not sure now. And also, like, listen, the best news about all of this is that, A, it wasn't more serious. Like, I could have gotten a concussion and, like, landed on my head. That could have been obviously awful. So it wasn't, like, the worst that could have happened. And also, like, we're friends and we've been friends. So at least this wasn't, like, some random stranger that I, you know, fell in front of. but the one thing that I have a interesting takeaway, I think, from it all, and that, you know, I was kind of talking to the girls about... is that it made me reflect in an interesting way on my body. Because, you know, as a woman who, you know, I'm late 20s and, you know, I'm an actor. So, like, we get our photos taken and we're on camera. And you're always kind of looking at yourself of, like, how can I improve? You know, I would just love to lose, like, this 5 pounds and blah, blah, blah. And regardless of what people say, if they're like, no, you look great. Like, you know, in general, people have this thought of, like, I could always look better. And I think since this injury happened, I've literally just loved my body a lot more, which maybe sounds cheesy, but, you know, it's like my body's healing itself. And, like, I'm feeling so much better and, like, I'm strong and, you know, it's doing what it needs to do. So instead of kind of getting in my head about, like, oh, I wish I, you know, lose 5 pounds before next week, I'm kind of like, I'm glad I'm alive and I'm glad, like, I don't have a concussion. Yeah. So
isn't it crazy how that will give you perspective?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, and I don't know that it's even that crazy, but it really does prioritize what, you know, it. I think it just, like you said, it puts things into perspective about, like, what actually matters, which is, you know, your body is a machine, right? We have to take care of it. And I guess instead of looking at it as, like, an aesthetic thing, it's actually maybe refreshing for you to feel like, you know, there's, like, a refocus of like what's important to you, maybe.
Totally.
I totally can relate to that because over Thanksgiving, I got trampled by horses. Oh my God.
Our producer's currently laughing at this. Apparently, this is funny.
It's really funny to Mike. Actually, so our producer, Mike, I did his podcast and told the story, but I was home for Thanksgiving and I was out in the field and I went to go pet the horses. And they were coming up to me like little angels, like they always do.
They're beautiful. Yeah.
And then it was during hunting season. They got spooked by a hunter unloading their gun. And the one horse that was to the right of me just started sprinting and ran right over me. And I went flying and I got up and was just bleeding. Like, I couldn't feel my face. I couldn't move my face. I didn't know if I had teeth. I was like, I didn't know if I had a concussion. It was all happened so quickly. It was just like blood gushing. Oh. It was so scary. So I was taken to the, you know, in the ambulance to the hospital, and I found out that luckily nothing was that bad. I broke my nose, but on the bottom, so I didn't have to get a nose job or anything and get that reset. I did have my gums were kind of shoved up my mouth, which sucks because I already have a lot of issues with my gums, and I've had surgery on my lower gums. So now my top gums are like totally fucked. So I'm like, I don't even have like gums anymore. It's all just cow collagen at this point.
But you still look like a million like bucks.
Super tragic. I was gonna
say, for someone with a serious gum issue,
I know
you're rocking
hot.
It.
Thank you. Thank you. I love my fake gums. No, but anyway, it was like that time though, I was with my family on Thanksgiving. Instead of going to a Thanksgiving party, everyone was in the hospital with me. And we were laughing so much, and I couldn't really laugh because my face was so swollen. And I just actually had a great time and had this perspective of, oh my goodness, I could have died. Mm-hmm. I could have hit my head. My face could have been permanently disfigured. And guess what? It's going to heal. Mm. And so I had that moment like you did, Caitlin, where I really just snapped out of it and was like, man, I shouldn't be so down on myself about the little things of like, oh, I hate these love handles or whatever. And I think I really appreciated my body for, I guess, like you said, the machine that it is. Mm-hmm. Well, so that was, it was a crazy experience.
It's also like, you know, literally like not comparing injuries, but I think like it was kind of amazing that yours happened at home if it was going to happen anywhere because you were able to be around your family and, you know, like, and mine wasn't as serious as yours. And like, you know, it did suck being by myself, like in the city MD, just being told like, yep, your ass is broken. But like, but like at least you had your family there to laugh. You know, like I FaceTimed my mom the next day and I was telling her everything. And, you know, I was like laying on the couch looking really pathetic with ice on my butt. And I was just like, mom, like, this is awful. And we're like, you know, I'm Googling it. And I'm like, well, how can they tell if it's broken? And we're talking. The one thing that really made me upset and I started to cry and like, she will confirm this. It's very embarrassing. I was totally fine with everything. And then I get to the part in Google where it's like, they may have to do a rectal exam to make sure that you have a broken tailbone. And no. I just start weeping. And she's like, why are you crying? I was like, mom, they might have to put their finger up my butt, which they did not. But I was like very adamant. I was on the, you know, FaceTiming with her and my nephew, who's like almost three. So at least he doesn't know what I was talking about. But I was just like, I don't want anyone up my butt.
No.
Like,
that's an exit.
Have you ever had butt exams are like really invasive.
Have you had one?
Like so many times.
Oh my gosh, I've never had one. I did not. I can't.
I don't want anyone's finger up there.
No, I can't deal
you guys
with
have
that.
No idea. No, but it. You have no idea. Like,
but why, Danielle?
Okay, I've had so many butt issues. Like, I know. And, no, it's
you
not
have
butt
a great
implants.
Tush, though.
You have a really big butt.
I have a huge butt. I do. I've always had a big butt. But pun intended, no, I had surgery on my butt at some point. This was like end of 2015. And speaking of Percocet, that was the one time that I'd been on Percocet and, you know, it was like enjoyable in the, for the duration, it was enjoyable. But I will say after being on it for 2 weeks, I had the worst withdrawal.
Oh.
I ended up with full-blown insomnia for the first time in my life. And that actually precipitated into a whole other slew of things.
Once, so scary.
Yeah. Like, to treat my insomnia, it was like this downward, it was like a snowball downward cycling issue with, like, pharmaceuticals. Then I, like, ended up in the hospital in 2016 for, like, being on the wrong medication. So
that's scary. Yeah. And that happens so often, I think. Which, like, you know, I feel like we could do a whole episode just on that. Because, like, it's such a terrible epidemic and like it's scary that like
I mean it's
medicine
a great
you
drug.
Needed it is like I felt really great going to bed last night and then today I took a leave because I was like I'm not going to be loopy for the podcast even though I'm still kind of loopy but whatever.
Wait Danielle, but why did you have to have surgery on your butt in the first place?
Oh well, yeah, it's so sometimes people get this thing called hemorrhoids.
Oh. Oh.
Mike. Our producer's thumbing
holler,
it up.
Holler, Mike. You feel me? No, I like, and it's so funny because my doctors were like, this is weird. Like, you're only 20. You're in your 20s. Like, you have, like, an old man's body.
Like, thank you. That makes
so, no,
really
I had to have a hemorrhoidectomy, which is literally, like, anal surgery. Fun, right?
Oh, my God.
So, yeah.
I'm in pain right now
me
listening
too.
To this.
You guys, it was, like, so it was just sort of like, you know, the worst part was like you're waiting after surgery, like you're waiting for the first BM and you're like scared out of your mind. Like, and that's why I was on Percocet so consistently, because like you use your butt every day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, people underestimate how frequently you have to use your butt. And, you know, it was like, it was really actually really crazy. And I'm glad it wasn't a more serious surgery, for example. But that was my first actual legitimate surgery. And that was just like, it changes your life a little bit, you know, that, you know, you're going under. It's like you even have to sign that piece of paper like, if I die, I won't hold you guys accountable.
Yeah, it's not serious at all.
That is like a reckoning, you know. In that moment, you're like, wow. And then, you know, you have to move past it. You just have to move past it, you know. But yeah, that's pretty.
Oh, boy. All right. So Andrea, what's on your mind? Because I feel like we've covered my tushy, so.
We've covered a few tushies.
Yeah, I've had a really interesting week. So I had a day this week that was so bizarre. It started out, I mean, just stuff at work happened, so I was already in a weird spot. And then I had this audition for a Russian character. So I needed a slight Russian accent. Okay.
And as we can all tell, Andrea's not Russian.
I am not Russian. And I'm actually kind of bad at accents, which sucks for an actor. Like, why am I so bad at accents? I don't know.
I am too, though. Whatever.
It's hard for me.
Or even when you think you're good and then you realize that you're not. Like, that sucks.
That's the worst.
Yeah. So I had to pull, you know, my agent, like, sent me on this audition with a slight Russian accent. And I was like, hey, I've never done a Russian accent. I don't think this is a good idea. And he's like, oh, it just needs to be slight. I'm like, okay. So I agreed to do it. So I had a whole, like, one night to figure it out. So I had Danielle send me the script and in a Russian accent, because she's a lot better at accents than I am. And you did a really good job at it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
That's good. Wait, do a little more.
What do you want me to do? I speak Russian, like, all day. It's very hard, you know.
Yeah, so she's really good. So I had Danielle send me that, and I actually did make a post on my Instagram too, and saying, do I have any Russian fans? And I actually do. And and randomly all these like 14-year-old boys were like, I'm from Russia. And I was like, you are not from Russia. It was like the older guys were smart enough to know I wouldn't buy it. It was like the teenager boys.
And they were like Googling. They're like, how do I do a Russian accent?
All of a sudden, all these like 14-year-old boys were Russian. And I was like, okay, dudes. So stupid. So, but this one, I had another guy that was from Russia send me a tape too. So I compared the two tapes, and then I came up with my own thing. And I worked on my Russian accent, and I feel like I got it down for the most part.
They might
send me back to Russia. Basically, just keep saying Russia. It's definitely not great, but it was. I felt that I worked on it enough that I was confident enough. So I went in, and right before the audition, I was in the bathroom freshening up, and two girls walk in completely speaking Russian. I'm like, are you kidding me? Okay. Mm. Then I go to the waiting room. There's all these girls that look so Russian. Like, so Russian.
Like, you could just tell.
You could tell.
Yeah.
And they're all speaking in Russian or heavy Russian accents. And at one point, I'm like, this is ridiculous.
And nothing like that to not, you know, to put you in your head before an audition.
Yeah, right before this audition.
As if a waiting room for an audition isn't nerve-wracking enough. Yeah. You know?
And I'm like, and so I actually asked, I looked around and I was like, am I the only non-Russian here? And they all said, yes. They said, yes.
I was going to say, they said, yes. Yeah.
So I went in and already felt completely screwed. But however, I will say I felt like I did the best I could. And coming out of it, I'm like, you know what? I think I could do another audition where I had to have a Russian accent. I am more capable of learning accents overnight than I thought I was. So that's actually think that the audition was fine. I just remember leaving thinking, how would I beat all of these Russians for a Russian role? It's just not going to happen.
I've had the weirdest 2 weeks. I went to the hospital almost 2 weeks ago for like an eye emergency. Really random, like super random.
Our bodies are falling apart.
Yeah, and I was just like, yeah, it just, all those things, like that thread that we're talking about, that common thread where you have like an injury or you have like a health scare, and it really puts things into perspective. Like, yeah.
What's on your mind, Danielle, besides that?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, I could go into that, but that would just be like more of the same. But yeah, so recently, especially this week, I just feel like the political climate of our nation is so tense right now. And, you know, we're all on social media. Everyone's on social media. If you're not on social media, like, you're definitely a hermit that lives under a rock.
No, but also, like, I'm a little jealous. I'm jealous.
I'm so jealous. Are you kidding me? I wish sometimes I could just delete social media.
Me too.
But not in
me
this
too.
Business, you can't.
No. But I do. I do.
If I ever have a mental breakdown, I'm deleting all my social media. And that's when you guys will know that Andrea has completely spiraled. I'm going to be gone.
You know, so what I... So this week, I found that I need to pull in the reins a little. I'm trying to find balance between between observing and being educated on what is currently going on, but finding that balance between observing and participating in the endless dialogue that happens on social media. So I'll give you a great example. So this was like 2 weeks ago, and speaking of the Me Too thing and Time's Up, I follow one of these actresses. Her name's Annabella Sciorra. I'm not sure if you guys remember her. She's done a lot of work. One of my favorite things she was in was What Dreams May Come with Robin Williams. Mm. She plays his wife. But anyway, she, I believe, was also, she's one of the Weinstein accusers. I think she has accused him of specifically like sexual assault, like rape. And I was on her account just like scrolling because I follow so many actors just to stay in the know. And she had this photo. It was like a picture of this graffiti art. And the graffiti art was, I believe it was like Jada Pinkett Smith dressed up as Catwoman or something. And then her cartoon or her graffiti persona is like holding out the beheaded head of Harvey Weinstein. So it's
it's like Kathy Griffin and DT.
Yeah. So it was interesting. And I looked at it. And underneath it, I mean, the commentary underneath it was interesting. And there was one that stood out to me, like, because it was just at the bottom of it. And it was like, it was some, like, white old guy. Like, and he was like, I disagree with this image. It's disturbing. And I think it disrespects human life. And it got, I don't know why, I was just feeling fired up. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to take this stranger on. Because, you know, that's always a good idea, right? So... God, you guys. So I responded to this man's comment, and I was like, well, you know, I mean, technically this is just an artistic symbol of a movement that's centered around human rights. So if you find this disrespects, you know, humanity or human life, I should say, maybe you should, you know, ask yourself why that is.
Oh my gosh. And
oh no.
I like, this is why we're different, Danielle. I do not
I could never
I
me either. No. I just like okay. Roll my eyes and move on.
So it gets better. So then the next morning, I wake up to a DM'd message from this handle. It's called Purple Storm, by the way. The handle is Purple Storm. I know, it's super
kind
mysterious.
Sexy.
Right? It's mysterious.
It's like Purple Rain, but like more
purple
intense.
Purple Storm. Okay, so I get a message from Purple Storm, and it's like, you know, with all, not, he didn't say with all due respect. I'm not going to do it verbatim, but I'll try. And he was like, you know, knowing that I fully well could be wrong, and I usually am wrong, I ultimately feel that, you know, these images are best kept, you know, so on and so forth. He was basically just reiterating his point, but in a private message to me. And he signs it, at the end of the message, he signs, John. And I'm like, Purple Storm? Who is this Purple Storm? So I go to Purple Storm's account for the first time. The name for the account is John Patrick Shanley. John Patrick Shanley is the writer of a few big things. He wrote Doubt. Doubt later became a film with Meryl Streep and Philip Seymour Hoffman. And he also wrote Danny and the Deep Blue Sea, which is also a really well-renowned play.
He also wrote Where's My Money, which I did my senior monologue from.
Ooh.
And he also wrote the play I produced last summer, okay?
Oh.
The first play I ever produced, which is called Savage in Limbo. He wrote it back in the 80s. He kind of didn't do anything with it. It was one of those beautiful works that was kind of left by the wayside. So when I see that it's John Patrick Shanley.
Was it really,
wait,
though?
No, wait.
I know. I'm on it right now.
Hold up. So I look at it because I'm like, John, is this really him? He's followed by Annabella Sciorra.
Okay. So
he's
that,
followed.
I'm so confused. And John, if you're listening, please tell us, because why is your
name
Purple Storm?
John Patrick Shanley is not listening to this.
But I'm saying, like, why wouldn't you just call yourself John Patrick Shanley?
Well,
why are you Purple Storm?
Because he's like a deep person, you know?
So, is that his aura?
No, is this what he looks like? This is what he looks like, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think this is him.
No, it is him.
He was like, tagged in it. So
oh,
I think
no,
this is him.
It's legitimately him. I like learned within a very short amount of time that it was legitimately him. And my response to him was, wait, I'm going to read it. It was like,
because
wait.
If you're an actor, I mean, this is it's a big deal.
It's
John Patrick Shanley.
Not only is it a big deal, he literally wrote the play I produced. Yeah. He wrote the play that I produced. Like, of all the people, you guys, that I could accidentally troll on Instagram, I trolled John Patrick Shanley.
Purple Storm.
Like, so I replied and I said to him, wait, I just saw your account. Are you really John Patrick Shanley? Forgive me. I'm just in shock and awe because I definitely produced Savage and Limbo at the Secret Theater in June 2017. I played Savage. This is a strange moment for me. You guys, it gets better and more fangirly. It was the best performance I've done so far because it's some of the best writing I've worked with. I sincerely appreciate your thoughtfully written message. I didn't mean to offend, but I am a savage after all. You understand.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
All
oh
the best.
You need to do that as a monologue.
Wait, all did he respond?
I'm getting there. Oh, all the best, Danny. And he goes, oh, I wish I'd seen it. I hope you're thriving. Not offended. Feelings are running high these days. Be well and watch out. I'm following you now.
Oh my gosh.
No, he goes, sounds so menacing. So now, long story short, I now follow and am followed by John Patrick Shanley, and we are all up in each other's Instagram liking each other's posts.
Oh my gosh, I love that. That is so you, though. Because
it is
you,
so you
are.
I love that. And you are savage.
I think that's great. Are you, because Danielle, you're someone that, like, you talk to people on Instagram.
I am very engaging.
Heated. Do you hit up dudes on Instagram?
Never.
Oh, really?
Never. No, they have big enough egos. Do you?
I do. I'm really embarrassing. It's really embarrassing. I recently DM'd an Olympian. Like, what was I thinking?
Like, saying good job.
You were
motivated and inspired.
I said, by the way, you're really cute. And turns out, this guy's coming onto my show for people. It's just so embarrassing. He probably is never going to see the DM, and it's fine. Like, sometimes I'll be in these moments where I do that. I'm like, what was I thinking? I think because I've had success DMing people before.
I really have.
Mm. Especially, like, people that have been on TV and stuff. Mm. So I think that got to my head.
I think you were motivated. Maybe you had a wine that night. Who knows? But you were like,
I probably did have wine that night. I know. I gotta stop.
Yeah. No, but, like, on that note, like, I realized just, and that was, like, last week, if not, you know, a little bit further back ago. But then this week, you know, I got into it again and I realized, Danielle, you need to slow down. Like, because some people just aren't worth it, you know?
Yeah.
And so, like I said, that goes back to my original thought, which is that I'm trying to find balance because I do feel so heated with what's going on, but it's you have to realize, like, you know, what you know, pick your battles, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
that's what we've had interesting last couple days.
Yeah.
I do want to talk about, because, yeah, for this podcast, look, we want to talk about serious things, obviously. Well, one thing we do all have in common is we are all single ladies in New York.
What?
Which is just, it's a lot.
It's such an adventure.
It really is. Man. So just for everyone, I do want to talk about dating, especially when you have guests on, just kind of get their take on it and maybe how they met their significant other or what their status is. So it's just for us, like, what is your status, Caitlin?
I am single, but I'm at this point, like, actively open to dating. Is that actually a saying? I'm very loopy. I think I'm open to dating now. I was not for a long time, but I'm single.
I'm technically single.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm technically single.
I think we're all technically single.
Yeah.
We're all single, and also I think that we're open to the option, and, like, some people have presented themselves, you know, to us in
it's
a way.
Just every week is different.
Yes. Ask us next week and we'll be, you know, married.
We're like the MTA schedule. It's different every week.
It really is.
This train is shut down.
I know. Okay. So people always, you know, say New York dating is the worst, blah, blah, blah. But I definitely want to talk about why it's the worst. But first of all, what's your favorite thing about dating in New York?
My favorite thing is that there's so many things that you can do, like, mm-hmm. And no matter what your interests are, you can usually find that, you know, whether it's, like, last week I went to, it was Valentine's, I went with a gal friend to a poetry slam, which I haven't seen poetry performed in, like, a decade, and that was super refreshing, actually.
Yeah, I love that your night, because we've had girls' nights like this, but I love where a night can just start out at one bar here, and then you don't really have a plan, and all of a sudden you're at, like, a concert, and then you're at this, like, 80s night, and then you're out till 5 a.m., and the best thing is when you're first seeing someone that you're so into, it's just, like, electric.
Yeah.
And you're exploring this wonderful playground together. It's basically like a friend that you want to touch and make out with all the time.
Yeah.
And, like, you can do whatever you want. And the thing about New York is, like, no one cares if you're making out at the bar. No one does.
No. Yeah. You don't get looked at all.
Yeah.
It's just so fun, and there's so many, and then, you know, obviously bars are open so late.
Yeah, we're very lucky. And then after the bars close at 4, you go to the diners, and some of them still serve alcohol, which I don't know if that's legal or not, so I'm not going to call them out. But we all know specific diners that will still, we've been to them together.
Caitlin,
that
will, wait, really?
We, yes? Halloween night, yo, when you went to Betty
Bye.
Oh
my gosh, I was so tired.
You're a baby.
I was so
Daniel
tired.
And I might have kept the party going at a diner.
Caitlin and I may or may not have, like, just partied on through the night.
Mm-hmm.
At diners, not at diners.
Yeah, she came to my apartment, and we might have had some beer until 8 in the morning.
Oh my God.
It's fine.
Yeah. We've had, Danielle and I have had those nights, too, where all of a sudden it's 7 or 8 in the morning, and you're like, what are we doing?
Like,
and also, we're not 22, you guys. We're all, like, basically 30. And, like, why would we be up until 8 a.m.? One time, Danielle came over at 6 in the morning.
I did. But I was so
determined.
It was so
fun.
Part of
being an adult. Like, that's why our sleepovers now are fun, because we don't sleep. Like, we're up, you know, drinking beer or wine or whatever, usually, and, like, chatting and having a great old time. And, like, you know, that's why adult sleepovers are fun.
Yeah, they are, because you have that freedom to be spontaneous. You know, you don't have to, like, have anyone's permission. Like, when I came over at, like, 5:30, 5:45 in the morning, I was like, yes, because I'm an adult. You know, like, I can do it.
And there's always, like, a cab or a train that will take you, you know?
Yeah.
You don't have to, like, sneak out of your parents' house. wait, on that note, I have a question for both of you. I just want to know, growing up, like, what sleepovers were like, or, like, if you have one that you really remember or something.
Look at Caitlin tying it into the theme.
Ooh. I love that. Keeping us on,
yeah,
on point.
Well, okay. For me, I wasn't really allowed to have sleepovers. I'm the oldest, and my parents were super strict. So if I had sleepovers, it was with my cousins or something. But I never had that, like, friend sleepover.
That makes me so sad.
I think I rebelled because then I would sneak out. I mean, I snuck out all the time. And my parents were kind of psycho about it, because if they caught wind that I snuck out, they would come find me. And one time at a party, I told my parents I was going bowling. I wasn't. I was going to a party. And all of a sudden, we get a call that the cops are breaking up the party. So we all go running. I jump into my Suburban. I drove a Chevy Suburban with a broken windshield. I was really cool.
Wait, why was there a broken windshield?
Because one time I was leaving a party, God, and drove under a branch. Like,
of
really,
course you did.
Yeah. I was trouble in high school for sure.
Because they didn't let you go to sleepovers.
Yes,
that's,
I know.
Why.
I honestly think so. I honestly think so. Because they're
too,
so much more relaxed on my younger two sisters, mm-hmm, and they're angels. And so I rebelled. So I get into my Chevy Suburban, and I close the door, and my two friends come up to the window, and they're like, What are you gonna say when you go home? Because clearly, like, you got home early from bowling. You know, quote, you know, with quotes or whatever. And I'm like, oh, I'll just tell them that, you know, bowling shut down early and I'm just back early. And my dad comes out of the back seat. And he goes, oh, good plan, guys. Good
the
plan.
The backseat of your car?
Yes.
No.
My dad.
Like a psycho killer.
My dad was hiding in my Suburban in the back, listening to me tell my friends the excuse I was going to give. He comes to the front and said, good plan, guys. My friends went running.
Did you just piss yourself? Like,
I was so shocked. And I was also thinking in my head, I'm like, they were looking through the window of this party. And what was I doing? Because went through, like, a...
What'd you say? Like, was there anything embarrassing? This is, like, a worst nightmare.
It was really bad. And, like,
Were your parents the grounding type? Like, would they ground you?
Normally not, but they did ground me that time. And I wasn't able to go to the choir trip to Chicago or whatever.
Which is such a sweet little trip.
I know.
Like,
and so, but,
it's like Glee.
Yeah, because of that, I've never seen Wicked. So, thank you. Thank you.
I think we can arrange that, babe. We live in New York.
Literally so many opportunities to see Wicked.
I'll take you to see Wicked.
But I still am going to blame my parents for that. I didn't get to go to sleepovers, so I decided to rebel. And then my parents would basically stalk me and find me at these parties. It happened many times.
I was lucky where I went to quite a few sleepovers.
So jealous.
Well, you know, it's interesting because looking back on it, they were either really good or really bad. So an example of really good would be like a sleepover where we would watch like SNCC, which was like
loved SNCC.
Right? Nickelodeon.
What's SNCC?
Oh,
Saturday
Andrea.
Night on Nickelodeon.
That's another thing. You guys, I didn't get to watch. Yes. I didn't watch much TV.
So
I was very sheltered.
It was the thing to do, like where you would, there were a few
shows. It
was shows,
like Kenan and Kel and all
Kenan
that.
Kenan and Kel, all that.
Right?
There was Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Ooh,
was my
I loved
personal
that show.
Favorite.
Me too.
Yeah. So that was like a really good sleepover, right? And the bad ones were really bad. They'd end with like,
they'd end with a few people crying, probably me being told I'm going to hell.
Cause what?
I was like the only Jew.
Stop it.
No, but like, you know, Minnesota, it's rough. It's rough there. You got to hold your own.
Is this middle school or high school?
This was, no. Sleepovers for me were mostly in elementary school,
oh,
right?
Yeah. Me too. Oh, wow.
Yeah, no, because, you know, kids, they'll say anything. They'll say anything. So it was one or the other.
You never,
really
like,
good
went
or really
back
bad.
To those houses, right?
Well, it's funny you say that. No, it's funny because I did, actually. One of my best friends growing up was from a very religious background. And actually even evangelical, if I might add, which is, I think, even more, you know, even more so religious than, like, you know, most like, you know what I'm saying. So I remember her sister told me once, she said to her, to my friend, she was like, I feel so bad for Danielle because she's going to hell.
No, you are not.
No, but, you know, and like, so it's funny because you kind of suppress those things. Like, you're just like, and it didn't hit me until recently. I was like, wow, that is so weird to be told that as a kid. That, like,
yeah, just
probably,
a little bit.
It probably messes with
again,
you and
that
you don't
was,
even realize it at the time.
Yeah, but I'd say those bad sleepovers were few and far between and much less than the good ones. And the good ones were great. Like, who doesn't love SNCK? And, like, you know,
I don't even know. I have this first time
well,
I've ever
Well, we're
going to
show you
SNCK,
baby.
It's the first time
you'd
I've
get,
ever heard.
You'd get all these snacks, and the best part was when their parents would say, you guys need to, you need to go down by, like, this hour. And then you'd all, like, giggle and be like, ha, 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 we're not going to sleep then.
I'm legitimately sad right now.
We'll have a sleepover so that you can experience it. We'll, like,
hey,
build a fort.
It's come full circle. And this is now why we're having this podcast.
Exactly.
Caitlin, what was your sleepover experience like?
Oh, I had sleepovers a lot. Well, when I went to other people's houses, I would call my mom pretending that I was sick because I wanted to go home because I just wasn't comfortable. And then when I would have sleepovers at my house, I was a dictator. I would, like,
oh my gosh.
I'm not kidding. I would lecture my friends on sleepover etiquette and on how to behave and how to be fun. And also, I would make them clean my room. My best friend, Kenny, who's still my best friend, thank God, I don't know why she stuck with me for 19 years, but she did. But yeah, we laugh about it because I used to literally sit on my bed and watch her clean my room. And I would be like, okay, you get a break now. Like, I was a dictator. I was awful.
You were a boss lady.
I was.
No, that is not a boss lady. That is not a boss lady. Do not encourage that behavior.
Just kidding. Just kidding.
I also was like a normal child where, like, you know, we would build forts, you know, with like the TV trays. And like we would watch the movie. Like we would get to go to Blockbuster and pick out two movies, my sister and I, like on a Friday night. And then we would also, like, get Wendy's. Like, that was, like, our big Friday night. And then if we did a sleepover, it was, I know, Ohio.
Life was so simple.
It was so simple and amazing. And then, like, you know, as we got older and we did sleepovers still, it became, like, yes, we would sneak out of the house. Sorry, mom and dad. Mm. They know about that now. But, or, you know, we would be online on, like, MySpace and we would, like, have to sneak onto the family computer at, you know, midnight when everyone else was sleeping. So kids these days don't understand how easy they have it. Like, their sleepovers now must be, like, bomb. Like, they get to go on, like, Snapchat and, like,
Netflix.
We used to have to sneak on, make sure no one was on the phone line.
Yeah.
I will say, though, I'm so glad that we grew up without all of that
Me
stuff.
Too.
Oh,
Me too.
My gosh.
I know.
With, like, can you imagine the pressure it must be to be on Snapchat or Instagram and see all your friends having a sleepover and you weren't invited to it?
Yeah.
At least when we were growing up, you would maybe hear about that at school or something, but you didn't actually see the video of everyone having fun without you.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. Oh, my gosh. And it makes me think, I can't imagine having kids.
No, I know.
Ooh, and then having to deal with, like, the social media aspect. So I'm glad that when we had, look, and also too, I had sleepovers with cousins and stuff and like my sisters, but I just can't imagine that element to it.
It's FOMO. You're feeling like you're really missing out on something special. Maybe that's why we decided to do this podcast so that we can include everyone in our sleepover.
Well, also like, because what you're saying, like when we were growing up, we had sleepovers. It's almost like, there wasn't that element of like overexposure where we were shooting it out to everyone. Like, look at all the fun we're having. And in a way, it is better because, like, I feel like that's more cherished to have had that element of innocence to it. Like, we were growing up and no one was in our world. Like, it was our world, you know, like our little sleepover world.
And really living in the moment. I think that's something, you know, that we can touch upon further later. But I feel like, you know, we're all so obsessed with, like, being on our phones constantly and, like, being on social media and capturing what you're eating. And, like, that's just kind of ridiculous. Like, you know, I'm also guilty of things like that. But it's, like, it's hard. It's, like, you know, if you're watching a beautiful sunset and you just see everyone snapping pictures or, like,
a concert.
I was just going to say, a good example was the Super Bowl when that kid was taking a picture with Justin Timberlake. It's, like, dude, you're on the Super Bowl. Like, you don't need to be documenting this by taking a picture with him. Like, well, it's everywhere. Yeah.
Well, something I appreciate about you two, especially, is when we go out, we put our phones away. And besides maybe getting a picture of the night, you two are never on your phones. We kind of put it away. And I try to do that with dating, too.
Yeah.
I try to put my phone away. I don't even take my phone when I go to the bathroom. Because I want it to, like, set the tone of, like, look, I'm not going to be on my phone. I want to be with you.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, you know, that's what it was like when you were younger and we didn't have all of this technology.
Right. Well, also, too, like, the date thing, like, you know, there's been times where I have checked my phone when they've gone to the bathroom or I've gone to the bathroom, and you can also be bombarded with really bad news, you know, or this happens before auditions, too. Like, I always tell, like, I coach kids with acting, and I tell them, like, put your phone away right before an audition, because, like, you could open up Facebook and something terrible has happened to a friend, or, you know, someone breaks up with you in a text message when you're 13 or whatever. And, like, that kind of stuff also with the phones, like, that,
And it's okay to check your phone. I will say, going like the whole like going to the bathroom, not bringing your phone thing, whenever I come out of the bathroom and the guy is like texting or like on his phone, I'm just like so defeated.
I know. I'm like, who are you telling? And what are you telling them?
Like, who are you texting? What's the like?
The best is when you're on a date that you've arranged through a dating app, right? And it's your first date with someone. And you see them get like the Tinder or whatever app
notification.
You see their banner on their phone, and you're like, yeah. obviously, we're both still on this app, but it's funny.
Like, they're gonna like scroll through to show you a picture, and they're trying to find like the Photos app. Yet you see like Bumble, Tinder, Grindr, whatever it is.
It literally happened to me.
You're not on a date with someone.
Hopefully,
like
not Grindr, because you know that's a different.
No judgment.
No judgment. That's just a different audience for what I'm interested in. You know, are you guys on dating apps?
I'm like, I love dating apps. I mean, I did Tinder, I did Bumble. Now I'm like really into Hinge. Mm. But what I do though is it's just a little overwhelming. So if I find someone that I'm interested in, then I just stop. I like leave the dating apps alone and then I'll just like revisit it at another time. But it is hard to meet people in the city.
It is.
It is. 2017 was my year of dating apps. And I don't plan on revisiting it.
No.
Once the new year had approached, I was like, yeah, I'm done. Like, and that was, you know, everyone decides whatever works for them, great. Everyone's different, you know, especially with dating and so on and so forth. And I'm never the type to really make those like New Year's resolutions. But there was one thing that I decided, which was that it was stepping outside of my comfort zone to try the dating apps, which was great. But I was like, okay, that I tried it. Didn't really work for me, so I'm gonna go back to, you know, what I was doing before, which was just exploring, you know, how far my organic relationships can go, if that makes sense. But look, it's not gonna be easy because it's hard.
Yeah, I mean, I prefer meeting people in the real life.
Of course. Easier said than done.
The movie is that we meet all of our husbands like in a coffee shop, you
know? Oh yeah.
Yeah.
We could obviously talk about dating so much more.
Like, way more.
And we will.
And we will. But we are kind of close to our time. Mm-hmm. I do want to say that... shoot. Sorry, I'm just waiting for my producer to pull up this sound effect.
Our producer loves us so much.
You guys, it's time for Why Not?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I did not like how that went.
That was our first attempt.
As I have a cough attack from my bronchitis, that was not as smooth as I wanted it to go.
Listen, I think it's, you know, things are endearing when they're not smooth, right?
Exactly.
All right, so it is time for Why Not. This is a segment that we're trying out that I think we want to do on each podcast where we dare each other to do stuff. So kind of say why not to life. Now, on most podcasts, we will be drinking. However, we're all very sick. I'm on antibiotics. Caitlin's on Percocet.
Not today,
not
but
today.
It's in my bloodstream.
It's in her bloodstream.
And me, well, I'm just me.
Yeah.
So, Danielle's a little hungover, maybe.
Normally, she was day drinking all yesterday. So normally, we will be drinking, and that kind of inspires this segment, because why not? Yeah. But basically what we want to do is dare each other to do things that maybe we're afraid to do, or it's like a fun activity in the city. Something that always comes to mind that I always bring up is like, what about naked yoga? Why not do naked yoga? Clearly, I just really want to do it.
Yeah.
So it just was this idea that we're going to dare each other to do things. Do we have a dare this week?
I mean, I feel like maybe we can open it up to our little friends here.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I think for the first week, we want to see what you guys want to dare us to do. And mm-hmm. this could be to go out on a date with somebody. Mm-hmm. It could be
rock climbing. Like anything, you know, that you
think. It can
think.
Be super silly. So what we'll do is we'll take your guys' suggestions and we'll dare each other to do that for the next podcast. So that's our plan. So email us at pastyourbedtimepodcast@gmail.com and give us your dares.
Yeah.
I'm a little nervous. Be nice.
I'm nervous too, but I'm also really excited to see what people come up with.
We are very adventurous people.
Yeah.
I will do actually anything. Danielle and I love playing truth or dare. Actually, that's what we love to do in the city. It's like
we really do.
After the bar is closed, we'll like go back to an apartment and play truth or dare.
And I can't wait to have guests on to make them play truth or dare with us.
And also, disclaimer, Andrea only wants to do dares.
I only want to do dares. I think truth is so stupid because I'm already such an open person. So like, what am I going to say? Like, everyone knows everything about me if you know me. So truth is dumb and it's a cop out. So
I only like truth.
I only like truth too. So this is good though.
This is great.
It's good.
We've got variety.
You guys are afraid. Don't live your life in fear. I love dares. So yeah. So give us your dares. Give us why not do this, and we'll take you up on one of them. All right. I think that about does it for our first podcast.
Yay.
This has been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for listening.
Thanks for coming to our sleepover.
Yes. We all had fun. I'd say this was one of the good sleepovers.
Yes. Yeah. This was a good sleepover.
No one's crying.
It's not scarring out your life.
Also, we are wearing pajamas, just so you all know, which I think is a fun thing to note.
Oh, yeah. We are wearing pajamas. I actually, so if you saw our photo or whatever, I'm not sure which one I'm wearing in that, but I actually went out and bought nice silky pajamas.
I was wearing that, what you have on.
Yeah, this blue thing.
And you were wearing this, I think.
Yeah.
And I was wearing this bathrobe that I invested in.
I mean, it's probably the first time I've worn actual pajamas, like an actual thing that I bought.
Yeah.
Because normally, what do you guys normally wear when you go to bed?
I usually wear like t-shirts from 8th grade with pajama bottoms.
Yeah.
T-shirts fit.
Yeah, I'll wear like shorts and a t-shirt or something. Nothing crazy. This was like the first time I've like bought myself a bathrobe. I feel kind of fancy about it.
I know. Yeah.
What do you normally wear?
What I love to wear is like guy's shorts that I've like stolen.
They're so comfortable.
That I've like stolen. Even like the long basketball ones that I've like stolen over the years.
They're so comfortable. Mm-hmm. They really are.
And I don't feel bad about it at all. I have a collection of like ex-boyfriend's clothes in my apartment.
I have a lot of hoodies. Again, from like middle school boyfriends that, again, now they fit because like at the time, you know, everyone was swimming in them. So I sleep in those sometimes too.
Yeah.
It's cozy.
All right. Thank you guys so much for listening. You can follow us. We have an Instagram, Past Your Bedtime. So find us on there or follow our individual accounts. And then you can listen to more episodes when they come out every Monday on the OG Podcast Network. And again, email us, pastyourbedtimepodcast@gmail.com. Literally email us anything, but we want your dares especially. Give us your thoughts on everything we talked about, and hopefully we won't see you guys. We'll hopefully have you listen to us next week.
Yes.
All right. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Bye.
Thanks, guys.
Bye. Good night.